Do you have a dark curiosity? Follow and listen to Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Your official station to talk Giants. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app. Download it today.
RJ Barrett, come back to us, please. He's not worried about it or concerned. It's one thing to maintain confidence. You can't say you're not worried about it when you suck at shooting the basketball. And his response is, yeah, I made some free throws. Well, hell, I'd hope so. You are in the NBA, right? I mean, my goodness. Now, I said this before, I'll say it again. RJ Barrett does not belong in the NBA. I am sorry. He is the worst. He does not shoot well enough to belong in the league. I'll find somebody off the street that'll play better defense than RJ Barrett and probably have a better shot. Oh, I made some free throws. I'd hope so, RJ. You should be getting to the line more often. And when you say you made some free throws, you weren't kidding. Six? I mean, what are we supposed to? Well, you're taking bows for knocking down 6 of 7 free throws? Dude, get to the line 20 times if you want to be productive. That's what you should be doing. All you can do is attack the rim. Lefty, righty, I really don't give a crap. Just attack the rim. You should not shoot a jumper. I would trust Dennis Rodman's jumper more than I would R.J. Barrett. R.J. Barrett is the worst shooting guard / small forward I have ever seen. Ever. Find me a worse shooter. He cannot. He's horrible. He has no confidence shooting the basketball. It's been like that since day one. I've been on him since day one. And then I wanted to like him because he had some, you know, he seemed like a guy who wanted to be here and he had a good attitude and a great work ethic. That good attitude starting to slide a little bit. He's starting to feel the frustration. And guess what? He should be because we're all frustrated with it. Ask Cleveland if you could go back and redo that 2019 draft. And instead of taking R.J. Barrett, take Darius Garland. Oh, no, I'm not worried about it. I'm good to go. I knocked down some free throws. Yeah. Wow. You actually did a fraction of your job. Hit a free throw. Guy hit 6 free throws. He's taking bows in a game they lost by 30. I mean, my goodness. I know they lost by, what, 17 or whatever it was. But they were down by 30 at points. It felt like they lost by 30. And they were down by 30 at least one point there. RJ, come on, bro. You got to be better than that. And you got to be more accountable. You've been a major problem. Gary is calling from Mayapack. What's up, Gary?
Oh, you know what's up, baby. A beautiful way to start a series. One down, 15 more to go. I told you this. I was confident, which I usually am not. I'm doom and gloom. But I don't think the Devils are ready for this kind of, moment, and the Ranger roster is just, it's an all-star team when you look at it. In the top six, somebody's going to get you, Panarin or Kreider or Kane or, it's
Tarasenko. Yeah, we talked about it last week when you called, Gary, when you lifted your ban and called me, and we did talk about it, and I was surprised that you were confident. I was confident, and also in the same way with the Devils where they're not ready for this. Nobody wants this Rangers smoke. They are ready. They are locked. They are loaded. And it showed in game one.
It's a perfect storm. And that's what I felt between the Devils not being ready for prime time and the Rangers. Every player is prime time, not just Kane. I said 5. I'm sticking to 5. I'm confident. They were blocking shots tonight. Like, I thought Tortorella was behind the bench. 26 block shots or something. And they never sell out like that. And Lindgren could have had 2 goals. He hit the post or the crossbar on one. You know what? If we play a strong, solid game and beat them and it's 2-0, then I think 5. I would hate to lose one at the Garden.
Five? If the Devils don't get game two, they're not getting a game.
You think they'll get swept then?
I do. Sweeps happen. If the Devils don't get... I'm not saying the Rangers are going to sweep. I think the Devils will probably get game two some way, somehow. They have to. If they don't get game two, Devils are in big, big trouble. I think they're getting swept. Think about this scenario. And now anything could happen. That's why it's fun to talk about. But you think if the scenario that you just painted, Gary, the Rangers go into New Jersey and win two games at the Rock, you think they're going to lose a game at the Garden to the Devils after that? No way.
I would hate, to think that way, but from past experience in 94, we were winning on the road. We lost to Vancouver at home. We lost to the Devils two games at home in 94, and we wound up beating them twice at the...
No, I know, but it's different. This is different. It's not just the home ice thing. It's this team at this time, and thank you for the call, Gary, this team at this time versus that team, the Devils, at this time. Where that's a young, inexperienced team in the postseason. Rangers now off of their run last year, being as loaded as they are, the dominant goalie, they now have home ice. If the Rangers beat them two straight in New Jersey, that's how sweeps happen. They're going to come home and put the brooms to them. I really believe that. If they win game two. You talk about Lindgren almost had a second goal. Panarin had an opportunity for a goal, and then he passed it back to Lindgren, which is a ridiculous pass. Panarin, he's got to shoot the puck. I want Panarin to shoot the puck. I want R.J. Barrett to stop shooting the basketball. You know what I'm saying, Matt, in Maryland?
Yes, it was tough watching the Knicks game play and the physical play that Cleveland had where they were just beating them up, and it seemed they're doubling Brunson every time he tries to penetrate, and they're leaving RJ open, and RJ is running to the 3-point line and shooting these hot looking threes to watch,
Well, how would you guard the Knicks? Wouldn't you do the same thing? Why would you ever? I'd leave RJ Barrett open all night long.
And he got a. I know it's tough to watch, and he's still a young player. I know you're like done with him. But he's still a young player.
Yeah, but that's fine because we've been saying the same thing for years. Oh, he's still young. He sucks shooting the ball. That's the problem, Matt. He can't shoot. His form sucks. His confidence sucks. I've never seen a worse shooter in my life at a small forward or a guard position.
And what it's becoming obvious because when you watch, there was a few fast breaks where Brunson had the ball at the center. RJ was on the right. Now, I don't understand why these guys, if you're not shooting good, why do you run to the 3-point line, go down the lane and get a layup?
Right.
And so I was like, oh. And then Brunson, he had an open three. He said, nah, I'm taking this in. So that's now Brunson's taking more difficult shots because the defense is collapsing on him because they know he's not going to shoot. He ain't got no confidence in RJ. So that makes it even. That's why his numbers were so bad. That's why he shot so bad.
Tibbs needs to limit RJ. You need to bench RJ Barrett. I'm not saying you got to keep him on the bench the entire game, but he's given nothing.
Here's a problem with the coach. Who is he going to use? Because he keeps this short rotation.
Man, it's a great question. I don't necessarily want to see D Rose or Fournier in there.
He didn't play Derrick Rose all year. I don't know. who's next? McBride? He's not.
Yeah. I don't like Fournier either, but at least he could shoot. The one issue so far through two games for the Knicks is they have not had good 3-point shooting. And RJ Barrett, he gives you nothing.
You can't. And Fournier's defense is so awful.
Yeah, he's terrible too. I know he's horrible.
He's horrible,
but at least he could shoot, right?
Yes, he can. But it's going to come. It comes at a risk. Like you have to have really good defenders with Fournier, just so that way he's not exposed. And then I think, Cleveland could possibly expose him, but they may have to play him because if RJ's shooting is bad, it's like, oh my god, it's painful. Because Fournier could light. He's he's good for 20-something points out of nowhere.
Well, he's more of a threat to shoot the basketball. And I think that's what we're looking for at this point, Matt. And thank you for the call. Fun talking some Knicks with you. I'm not saying I want to see Fournier. I don't. But if you're asking, okay, you're going to bench Barrett, what's the answer? That's really it. More minutes for Fournier. You could have Grimes play more minutes. Last night, RJ played 33 minutes. Grimes played 22. You had Obi with 15, Quickly with 23. Really need Quickly. How about Quickly taking some of those minutes? Quickly and Grimes playing in the 30s and RJ playing 10 minutes. And if you need to get Fournier in there, I'm fine with that for a few minutes. But the reality is they cannot have RJ Barrett's killing them. You saw it in game one. They finally got his rear end off the floor, and that's what made them win that game down the stretch. And you watched it last night early on in that game. Because once it got to, 17, 20 points, 30 points, whatever, didn't really matter. Game was over. But prior to the game being over, when the game was still a game back and forth, RJ Barrett was a big problem. The guy can't shoot. Brock is calling from Huntington. What's up, Brock?
What's up there, Sal? Just wanted to, echo this. I mean, RJ Barrett is disappointing. It's a shame, man, because I look at him and he's got this big body. It's a great looking like physique for the first position, and he can't even finish close to the rim. It's really disappointing. I mean, he's got the move to get to the rim. He can't shoot. He can't really get the can't finish. But I don't really think that was the difference tonight. I mean, they got their butt kicked, man. I mean, that was a disappointing loss. It just looked like they couldn't compete on the level that Cleveland was ready to compete at tonight. And I was really looking forward to this game, and it was kind of a real letdown game.
That sucks. I mean, we're looking forward to the game all day, really since Saturday night. You're fired up about the Knicks, and you wanted a game. I mean, you kind of expected Cleveland was good. You had to think Cleveland was going to win the game and give you at least everything that they got. Now, it would have been great had the Knicks won, but we didn't even get a game out of it. It was a blowout. The game was over in the second quarter. It was non-competitive. That's what's disappointing, and you're right. This is not all on RJ Barrett, obviously, but it is the second straight game where Barrett did nothing, did more to hurt the Knicks than to help them, and he has become a major part of the problem.
Totally agree, man. And I mean, just when you're talking about Quickly too, man, he comes in there, it's like he's not chilling out. He can't relax. He's playing like panic attack basketball, running around, like can't get into the flow of the game. He's just making mistakes. And it was just interesting, man. Game 3 is going to be interesting, Sal. I mean, it's going to be an interesting game to see how they react after that.
Yeah, I don't know what's up with Quickly, Brock. I mean, Quickly has been terrible in these two games. We talk about, whether it's Volpe or Beatty or whatever, these prospects coming up for the Mets and Yankees, certain guys look like they belong, certain guys looked overmatched. Emmanuel Quickly looks like he's overmatched in the postseason. I don't get it. He's got to calm down and treat it like the regular season. I know it's not the regular season, but the players can't think of it the way that the reality is. Like, go out there and just play your game. Obviously, there's more intensity, but you still got to do what made you successful in the regular season. Quickly looks awful so far in two postseason games.
No doubt. I think he's such a high-energy guy, and it's almost like what the thing is that's his benefit is his weakness right now because he can't really
calm down.
Yeah, he can't calm down. He's just not being able to relax. And I understand it because, I mean, he's pumped. It's the playoffs. But, like you said, if he can't relax, you got to get someone else in there. I don't want to see Fournier, man. Oh, God.
Yeah,
Fournier.
I know. He's terrible. I know. I get it. I get it, Brock. But I don't want to see RJ anymore. I can't do it. And thank you for the call. And you're right. It is going to be, I'm very curious to see what Game 3 brings. Because now we saw the Knicks play, or at least they didn't play a great game in game one, but they played well enough to win and steal one on the road. And there were some great signs in that game, even though they didn't play well. And then we just saw a disastrous game two, really from all involved. Disastrous. And now you get to see how this team is going to handle adversity. Now you get to see how RJ Barrett, how Emmanuel Quickly, Quentin Grimes, how these guys are going to perform in front of a raucous crowd. They're going to have the support of all the Knicks fans there. Going to be cheering on their team. This is the hottest ticket in town. This is hotter right now than the Rangers. The Knicks are it right now. Knicks fans have been starved. Starved. They're ready to go. And that place should be electric come Friday night for Game 3. Will the Knicks be up for the task? This is different than a couple years ago when they took on the Hawks. It's different. They should be better now. And it's a series that's at 1-1. You know, it's also not a series where, you know, you feel like the Knicks have no chance. As a matter of fact, many people think the Knicks have a very good chance of winning this series. And beyond that, go even further. So I'm excited. I mean, that's what these playoff series are about. You don't want to get too high. You don't want to get too low after each game. I'm not going to go nuts and say the Knicks are going to win the championship after game one. We'll let others do that. And I'm not going to go nuts and say the Knicks are going to get bounced now in the first round because they got embarrassed in game two. I think they'll fight back. I think they'll respond. I think they're good. But Cleveland is good too. Let's just hope that the Knicks could, you know, their job now, they did their job on the road. They had to go get one of two. They did that. Their job now, to protect home court. 877-337-6666. More of your calls on the other side. Whatever it is you want to discuss. Rangers big win. Knicks frustrating loss as they get embarrassed on the road in game two in Cleveland. Yankees lose again. As the Yankees, you know, it's just they won a couple against Minnesota to salvage that series. But the Yankees have not looked good over the last five games or so. Even though they haven't lost a series yet. And their offense, you know, the Yankees are banged up, not looking very good. The Mets get blanked on the road as they lose to the Dodgers. Rubber game later on today. Max Scherzer versus Noah Syndergaard. Stay tuned for that. And Knicks lose, Rangers win, Mets, Yankees both lose, Islanders back in action tonight. A lot going on here.
Let them have it. Call the Fan at 877-337-6666. Powered by Superbook Sports. Visit superbook.com.
Take you through the overnight. 877-337-6666 is what I'm going to call. I saw Draymond Green got suspended for a game. Dude, that is, I got to be honest with you, I'm on Green's side on this. Not that I would ever condone stomping on somebody's chest. I don't think he did it. I mean, that was an acting job by Sabonis, and I'm rooting for the Kings. I bet the Kings in this series. By the way, if I must say so myself, I've been cleaning up. With the Knicks, with the Kings, with the Rangers. It has been a nice few days for me on that front. Anyway, I bet the Kings. So I'm rooting for the Kings to win that series. I like Sabonis as a player. It was a total acting job. You could see it was a wrestling move from Draymond Green. It was like the fake stomp on the chest of Sabonis. Oh, he's got a contusion in his bull crap. He may have... And now, look, you want to say spend him a game? All right. I mean, I guess, but this idea that Draymond is some kind of villain here for this move, he's done a billion things worse than this. This didn't even look that bad. Sabonis grabbed his leg. And Draymond's trying to push off a little bit. I think he wanted to stomp on him, but he didn't. I don't know. I think he's getting a bad rap. Anyway, the NBA has been, you know, off to a nice start here with this postseason. You got Phoenix getting on the board. With a potential, look, they with KD and Chris Paul, this is a spot where, you know, you should see this team go compete for a championship. And they finally ended the KD drought last night. And Chris Paul, again, with that referee, I forget his name, but the one referee who was refereeing all these games that Paul has lost. Anyway, the Suns beat the Clippers 123-109. Celtics, again, take care of the Hawks. I mean, no surprise there. It's going to be the Celtics. Likely it'll be the Bucks. If Giannis doesn't play in game two, you'd assume he's going to come back in the series. Hard to imagine the Heat beating Milwaukee. in a first-round series. But anyway, the NBA playoffs have been off to a fun start. That Kings Arena, that atmosphere is unmatched, man. That is like that is unlike anything else I have seen in a very long time. And I learned about that. The reason why I bet the Kings in this series was because of that. And the way I learned about that was when the Knicks went into there. I had no idea they were that good or that place was that insane in Sacramento. Pat is calling from the Bronx. What's up, Pat?
Hey, Sal. Good to talk to you. You mentioned earlier about daytime being the day being Wednesday. Well, day begins for me when the sun comes up, but that's just me. I understand the way the clock works and all that.
Right. Well, I mean, that's a fair way to look at it, but for technicality purposes, you know, the Mets play a game today. Today is Wednesday, so I can't really say tomorrow. I want to be technical.
That's true. Fair enough. And hopefully we'll get the rubber game. I like the pitching matchup. I did want to say about basketball, isn't it ironic that you were beaten tonight by LeVert and Allen, who came in the trade for Harden, who made the Nets irrelevant with second-degree stars, and the Knicks have second-level stars, and nobody can get past the top teams in the league, don't you think?
Well, what do you mean, nobody?
Well, I mean, the Knicks can't get past any of those top three teams in the East.
Correct.
The Nets can't. I mean, you know.
Correct. Yeah, neither of those teams have a chance. I mean, the Nets are going to, they're lucky if they get a game from the Sixers, and the Knicks are lucky if they win. Not lucky, but I mean, I don't want to put a cap on their season, but if the Knicks win the first round, I think anything else is a bonus. You'd have to get extremely lucky to be able to beat the Bucks. I think you'll learn in a hurry how bad of a statement it was to think that the Knicks could beat Milwaukee once you actually see the two teams go head to head.
Well, I mean, look at LeVert and Jared Allen are very good players. Cleveland shows promise for the following years to come. Maybe there's some growth. Ja Morant is a great player, showing promise in the future. What promise do the Knicks or the Nets have for the future?
Well, I think the Nets have a couple of players that you could hope to build on. We talked about this yesterday, where even though they're losing to the Sixers, I mean, you still got Cam Johnson. You obviously have Mikal Bridges. Those two guys have been studs for the Nets, in particular Bridges. He is out of this world good. So at least they have young superstars they can build around with Bridges. And like I said, you know, you look at what they're able to do with Cam Johnson as well. You know, they have some core there. With the Knicks, same thing. They have some players. They're good there. The Knicks are one star away. One more player. One more star away, whether that's developing another star, drafting one, trading one, they need a star to replace R.J. Barrett. Because R.J. Barrett was supposed to be that all-star, and he's not. You take a guy third overall like that, he's supposed to be an all-star. He's not, and he never will be. I don't even think he's a good NBA player, period. He can't shoot.
I'm fond of Claxton and Dinwiddie on the Nets. I like Bridges and Cam Johnson, but they're second tier, I think we have to admit. But I did want to talk about the Mets because I did stay up for the game. That's why I'm calling you now. I'm going to try to get some Z's a little later after I listen to more of your show. But we ran into Kershaw at the top of his game. I mean, the Mets announcers, and you know, I'm getting used to them. They kind of sound like each other, but they're making a celebration over Mark Canha having a 12-pitch at bat and getting a single. It was the second hit of the game, and nothing happened from it. I mean, I know you're trying to keep people interested, but I mean, I didn't listen to half of that 17-walk game, and that was torture. That's how big a Mets fan I am.
That what now? You're saying the walks or just the bad baseball?
The 17-walk game against Oakland when we walked 17
times.
Yeah,
Friday night.
I listened to the first half of that game, and I'm like, it's torture. It was the worst game
ever. It was a terrible game. I know the Mets scored 17 runs. No, last night was the best game, or 2 nights ago now, Monday night, was the best game of the year. I mean, that was, and thank you for the call, Pat, that was the best game of the year for the Mets. It was good back and forth, and obviously the Mets came out on top. They showed some resiliency even after getting down early in the game. The 17-run, 17-walk performance was, I mean, that was a brutal display of Major League Baseball. And it's not the Mets' fault. It's the A's' fault. Just not a good game. Game went on forever. You can't have a game where you have that many walks. It's embarrassing for the sport. You're worried about the pitch clock. How about you get some guys that could throw some strikes, for goodness sake? Disband the A's. Break up the contract. Forget about moving Oakland. Contract them. If they're going to treat baseball like that, contract them. I respect the history. I love the uniforms, all that stuff. Contract them. You can't field a Major League Baseball team like that. Dreadful game. But the last two were, I mean, you know, obviously last night was not a good one for the Mets getting blanked by Clayton Kershaw, but at least you got to see some good pitching from Kershaw. and the night before was the best game of the year for the Mets. Barry is calling from Brick, New Jersey. What's up, Barry?
Hey, how you doing, Sal? Good to talk to you.
You too, Barry. What's on your mind?
I just wanted to touch base on the Yankees and on the state of play of baseball in general currently. You know, first of all, with the Yankees, it's kind of interesting. They remind me of the same team that got swept by the Astros last year. You know, like no timely hitting, barely any hitting, actually. You know, and, you know, the pitching is okay, pretty good, you know, but not enough to get them, you know, past the Astros or past an elite team. For some reason, this whole start of the year, it's been exactly like that. You know, like just they haven't gotten their, you know, their groove or what have you. I mean, like every day I'm looking at the lineup, like DJ LeMay was hitting sixth, then he's hitting first, then he's hitting ninth. Like, come on, where's the consistency? Where's the normalcy? That shouldn't happen to a good team.
Right, you know? But they're extremely banged up right now. I'm not trying to make excuses for them, but the Yankee lineup that we saw last night was nothing near what we expected to be come October.
Yeah, but you know what? Brian Cashman should have realized that because Giancarlo Stanton, come on, he's injured more than he plays the field.
Yeah, he's always hurt. No, I get it. He's always hurt.
Yeah, he's always hurt. So Brian Cashman and, you know, whoever the hell runs the analytics department there, you know, those college scholarship kids from Yale. You know, it's just insane that they don't have a good product on the field. They have the same, you know, they've made the same mistakes where they're always lacking a good situational hitter. You know, like Gleyber Torres, like, again, he's been such a disappointment. Then he got off to a hot start this year. I thought maybe he turned it around, you know. But, yeah, he's back to same old Gleyber Torres, you know, just like, slow gliding along, but not really doing much.
Yeah, Gleyber, right, after the hot start, Gleyber has calmed down a little bit. And without that, Barry, they're in trouble, especially now without Giancarlo Stanton. No Donaldson. Yeah. I don't like Donaldson to begin with, but their lineup was built to have his bat in there. And Aaron Boone said JD is going to have a big year. Like, he could be a difference maker for that team if he had a year anywhere close to what he was supposed to have when the Yankees got him.
Yeah, but that hasn't happened in the last few years, right? Like, DJ LeMay, whose average has not been, you know, DJ LeMay-esque, so to speak, you know, in the last three seasons. So it's just like Brian Cashman, he's focusing on the same exact, you know, I'm sorry, he's missing the same holes that he's missed the last few years. There's no depth in the lineup. You know, you have Giancarlo Stanton who's injured every year. Like, he should have a backup plan to Giancarlo Stanton, except, you know, more than Aaron Hicks or, you know what I mean? There's just no depth.
Right.
They're pushing the same product year after year and expecting different results. No, they're pretty much, they have the same faults as they've had the last 5 years.
Well,
and
they
that's
did,
what's stopping them.
See, I disagree with that to a certain extent. They did try to change a little bit last year, bringing in Donaldson and IKF, getting rid of Gary Sanchez, getting rid of Luke Voit. That was the first time they tried to change the look of it a little bit. And then this year, the difference was Harrison Bader, where they trade for him. Obviously, he's hurt. They bring up Volpe. Now they bring up Peraza. You know, that's a little bit of a change as well, trying to bring up different type players. Problem is, it's been the same result. You're right. I mean,
Higashioka, I can't see Higashioka in the lineup that often. You know, like, it just has, like, 5 through 9. I'm like, who? Frenchie, you know, French Fry Ramirez? Yeah, I don't know what his name is.
Frenchie Cordero, who's actually been a revelation for him.
He's been good in the first few games, but he's sunk back to, you know.
Yeah, he's Frenchie Cordero.
Yeah, exactly. You know, so they're expecting these stopgap measures.
Last year, outside of Aaron Judge, do you remember who was their best offensive player in the first half of the year?
Gleyber Torres?
No, Gleyber was okay last year, but
in the beginning he was good, but then he fizzled out.
Right. You know, Matt Carpenter.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, a guy who wasn't even
he came out of nowhere. He was like a random piece of scotch tape that, you know, he tried to, you know, that we'll see, hey, let's stop the sinking ship. And this, you know, luckily for him, it was able to work, but, you know,
until he got hurt, and then when he went down, and when he went down, the Yankees started
to
struggle.
Went down.
Yeah, but
Yankees
the poor,
went down.
Yeah, and they should have never been relying on Matt Carpenter.
Yeah, exactly. 37 years old, he comes back with a mustache from the 1920s.
Yeah.
I'm like, you know, how is this supposed to save the Yankees?
I still think, Barry, and thank you for the call, good stuff with your Yankees. I still think the Yankees will be fine. They always are. In a bad year, the Yankees won 95 games or 92 games. Like, in a bad year. But they are hit really hard by injury right now. And other teams are, too. I know the Mets are hit hard by injury. But you look at the Yankees. Look at their lineup. Now, it should never come to that. They didn't have a left fielder coming into the year. So the fact that they get hit in the outfield with Bader, we knew it was going to be a problem. The Yankees, the New York Yankees, have Isaiah Kiner-Falefa playing center field. That is bad enough on its own. But coupled with Aaron Hicks in left field, that's a major problem. IKF, Franchy Cordero, Aaron Hicks, Wolf, Calhoun. You remember, Trevino last year was an all-star as well. Are you going to get that type of performance from him again? I don't think so. And then you got the rookies. Volpe, off to a slow start. Again, very impactful, and I think he's going to be fine eventually. But he's off to an incredibly slow start. Are you going to get the dominant year you had from Judge a year ago? Which the Yankees may need again. They needed it desperately last year. Their offense just isn't... I'm telling you, Giancarlo Stanton is a big problem. We talked about this yesterday. Because when he's in the lineup, it looks totally different. Problem is, he's not in the lineup nearly enough. He's always freaking hurt. And it causes them to have to look like this at times. And then even when he's in there, Stanton is still inconsistent. He'll go on 2 weeks where it looks like you can't get him out. He's the most dominant power hitter the sport has ever seen. And then another 2 weeks, it looks like he can't make contact with the ball. Maddening. Dave is calling from Comac. Good morning, Dave.
How are you, Sal?
Great, Dave. How are you?
Just a matter of time.
Before
just warming up.
Before what?
Before they destroy the Rangers.
Who?
The Devils. Sal, you seem a little cocky there.
Oh, well, hold on a second, Dave. You listen to me regularly, right?
Yep.
So how did I sound before the Rangers and Devils took the ice?
Listen, what place did the Devils finish?
Second.
What place did the Rangers finish?
Third. What does that mean? What does that mean? What does that mean right now?
Huh?
What does that mean right now?
Doesn't matter. The Devils are a much better team.
No. Hold on. You asked me what place the Rangers finished in and what place the Devils finished in. I answered. I said second for the Devils, third for the Rangers. Then I asked you a question. What difference does that make now?
Makes a lot of difference.
How?
There's a reason why they headed the Rangers.
Why? Who's got home ice in this series? The team with the second seed or the team with the third seed?
The Devils, I believe.
Oh, they do?
Yeah.
Oh, but they lost game one. You know what that means?
Listen, Sal.
Home ice is now shifted.
When the Rangers
home ice is now shifted. Did you watch that game?
Sal?
Did you watch the game last night?
I heard about it on the radio.
Oh, you really should have watched. You know why? Because they were chanting for your guy.
Huh?
They were chanting for your guy.
What guy would that be?
Potvin sucks, Dave! Get lost! You didn't hear the whistle? Dave, here's the one thing I don't understand about Dave, and obviously we're just having fun with it. He's an Islander fan who hates the Rangers more than he likes the Islanders.
He's not an Islander fan.
Thank you, please.
I didn't get to tell Alex about Dave before he was screening the calls.
No, but
Dave slipped through today.
Well, he's always... is he a Devils fan or not? He's an Islander fan, isn't he?
I don't know what he is.
But if you don't consider him...
He claims he's an Islanders fan. I don't think he's watched any team play hockey in the last 10 years.
He
caught one game like 6 years ago when the Islanders played in Calgary, and for the next 4 years called and said, I don't think the Islanders can do it. Do what? Win the cup. This could be, you know, December 11th. Why? Because they can't beat Calgary. Just based on a game he saw 1 year.
So what is it that he's just a Ranger hater? I don't understand. He calls about the same thing all the time.
He claims to be a Ranger hater, but he also, as a self-claimed Islanders fan, hates the Islanders, wants everybody fired, wants everybody traded.
He
wanted Trotz and Lou fired 2 years ago while they were in the conference finals.
I mean, come
on. He's in his own class of overnight creature.
We'll take a break in a second and finish up with the calls on the side. 877-337-6666. Fleeks, how do you feel about your Islanders going to the game two tonight?
Not great. I didn't feel great about them just going into the series. It's, you know, now they have to reintegrate Barzal into the lineup. They need Romanov back. There's just been something
like
off
Barzal
about this. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, listen, he's not the player that we thought he was going to be.
Right.
Or even the player that he looked like a couple years ago. There are times where he's absolutely frustrating. But then he also gives you the moments where you say, oh, right, this is what this kid is supposed to be. When he gets hot, when he shoots the puck instead of just looking for the best pass that he's always looking to make, he has the talent to be one of the best players in the league. He's just somebody that, for whatever reason, never put it all together consistently.
You know, they didn't play a bad game in game one. I mean, the power play, they got to be able to score on the power
and
play.
They didn't play very, I mean, offensively speaking, they didn't play a very good game either.
Right. Right.
Like, but that's the game without Ilya Sorokin. Well, they probably lose that game 4-1, 5-1.
But that's why they have a chance in this series or any series because of Sorokin. I mean, we saw that with the Rangers last year with Shesterkin. With Sorokin back there, you never know. You stop with the penalties. They got to stay out of the box against Carolina, and they got to be able to score on the power play.
And not just on the power play. Like, yes, the power play was awful, and it was weird because for the first minute of the first power play, they showed you signs of life. They were attacking the net. You thought, oh, okay, they might look better on. And then after that unit, that first power play line left the ice, everybody was terrible for the rest of the game. They were horrible with the puck in 5-on-5 hockey, too. Like, they have to be better across the board, not just the power play, if they want to have any chance in this series.
Right, but in the postseason, you get those opportunities on the power play, you have to cash them. You have to. Not all of them, but you want to win, you got to cash them. And they didn't. I'll be into that game, too, tonight. I told you, I want the Islanders here. I'd much rather face the Islanders for two reasons. One, I'm sick and tired of the Canes. Two, I think it'd be a great matchup for us, for the show. It'd be great. I mean, for this town, it'd be great with the Islanders and Rangers in it. I got to get this one tonight. You don't want to go down in an 0-2 hole. 877-337-6666. We'll finish up with your calls on the other side. Whatever it is you want to discuss. Rangers get the win over the Devils. Knicks get embarrassed in game two. Yankees and Mets both lose. Yanks lose to the Angels. Mets lose to the Dodgers.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
We're down. There's 50 seconds left in the fourth quarter. Sports. Yes!
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan. When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
Sal Licata back on The Fan. We'll finish up here with your calls. Brian McKeon will take you through the overnight at 2 a.m. 877-337-6666. Mets will have the rubber game of their series with the Dodgers a little bit later on this afternoon, 3 o'clock start. Max Scherzer back on the mound after being pushed back a few days. So it'll be good to see Scherzer out there. And he'll be opposed by Noah Syndergaard. How about that? Syndergaard and Scherzer. This will be a fun one, 3 o'clock later on today. Bruce is calling from Howell. What's up, Bruce?
Yeah, what's up, Sal? I've been checking in a few days. How you going?
Not bad, Bruce. How are you? What's on your mind?
Yeah, so I was having some trouble with the Rangers. Mix. What was your situation? I could not watch two games at once and be fully into both of them. So I just went with the Knicks like at some point in the second, third quarter because I went to the Rangers at 2-3-0 lead. I was like, hey, well, I was going back and forth. I could not watch both games at once.
It is hard, I will admit, and I feel like I've mastered it. But even with that, when you have games of this magnitude, you're right. You cannot watch two games the way that you would one game. It's just not physically possible to do so. Like, you can't do it.
All right.
But I mean,
let's see Tarasenko get on the board. We need Tarasenko to be able to play
as well. Yeah. Tarasenko, well, that's why he's here. I mean, to score in the postseason.
Sure.
And to be an impactful player in the postseason like he did with St. Louis. And he was that for the Rangers, getting him on the board early, you know, in game one. Hey, look, I mean, this was a top to bottom dominant, near-perfect performance from the Rangers. As good a performance as you could have asked for to open up a postseason.
Sal, you mentioned the Suns earlier. You know, if I think that if anyone has a chance to beat the Suns, I don't think anyone's going to beat a healthy Suns. If anyone has a chance to beat them, it's the Clippers right now before they get their chemistry. And if anyone thinks that a healthy Milwaukee could beat them, they got zero chance because KD just 2 years ago, KD with a bunch of scrubs with the exact same Milwaukee team almost beat them, was in chalk. So Milwaukee has no chance of beating a healthy Phoenix.
Right. So you're saying that if Clippers don't get Phoenix, you think Phoenix is going to win the championship?
Yeah, it's healthy. I think the Clippers actually have a shot because just for, until Phoenix gets their chemistry together, maybe they can pull one out.
Right, I see what you're saying. Clippers, look, the Clippers and Suns might be the two most dangerous teams facing each other in the first round. I like Sacramento, but do you really look at them as a championship threat? The Grizz?
I have Warriors in six. Warriors in six.
Okay, well, I hope not. I mean, I got the Kings in that series. Warriors in six. How right, dare you? Kings.
I don't know. Draymond's not playing game three, but, you know, yeah. Four-time champions. They've been through it.
Yeah, no, I get it, but I mean, they also did lose these first two games. So, look, that series is far from over. Do you trust Denver?
Right, doesn't start until team wins on the road.
I know. Do you trust Denver in the first round, or and not in the first round? Do you trust Denver in the Western Conference?
So, I don't know. I don't have them to come out, but yeah. they're gonna easily get past Minnesota,
right?
But ultimately, no one's beating out these Suns. It comes down to shooting in the playoffs, and Phoenix just has too much shooting.
So are you picking? Who's your West representative? Phoenix or the Clippers? All right, that's what it sounds like.
Yeah, I'm picking Phoenix.
Okay, and then you're gonna go Phoenix over Milwaukee.
Yeah, Phoenix over Milwaukee.
Yeah, interesting. What about the Knicks?
Yeah, use Knicks. I have Knicks.
You have what?
I think they are.
Yeah. Knicks in what?
I have Knicks in six.
Oh, no. What about the Knicks as far as going to the championship? Yeah, somebody said that earlier.
No, I'm not BP. I don't have Knicks. I'm realistic. I'm a diehard Knicks fan, but no, I'm Rangers. Rangers going to the Rangers winning the cup.
There
Knicks,
you go, Bruce.
Knicks, I'll be happy to get out of the first.
Agreed, Bruce, and thank you for the call. Yeah, Bruce and I are sharing a brand there. I agree. You got to be realistic. Knicks will be lucky to get out of the first. No way, championship. Rangers, they are winning the Stanley Cup. Danny is calling from Seaford. What's up, Danny?
Sal, what's happening? How always? Good night. Good night to be a Rangers fan for sure.
Great, great performance from the Rangers.
I want to piggyback off the last call of Bruce. It's got to be very, very tough to pick between your two teams and who you're going to watch. But I got a better one. It's hard to pick between your two teams, meaning the Rangers and the Knicks. And who are you going to spend a fortune to go see to a game on the first round?
Yep.
You know, that's a tough question, Sal. But I'm happy to announce I will be there Friday night, and the Garden will be rocking.
Nice. You're going Friday for Knicks game three.
Friday game three. Sal, I didn't get to hear what happened over the weekend. I know you had your daughter's birthday at Sesame Place. Were you able to watch the game or no?
So, yeah, so I went, and thank you for the call, Danny. Appreciate you checking in. I went to Sesame Place on Sunday. We were supposed to go Saturday, but there was bad rain in the area and a Knicks 6 o'clock start playoff game. So we postponed it till Sunday. So I ended up being home all day Saturday, watched the game in peace downstairs. It was awesome. Great win. And then we had a great day for my daughter's birthday the following day at Sesame Place. And then the ride home sucked, and I never want to drive on the George Washington Bridge or the Cross Bronx Expressway ever again in my life. All right, that does it for us. Be back again tomorrow night, same place, same time, following the Yankees. Thanks to Fleegs, as always, for all his help. Thanks to Rosie. Thanks to Alex Azarn, who's training. Good luck with the rest of your training. Thanks, everybody who called and listened. We appreciate it. Brian McKeon will take you through the overnight. He's coming up next. We'll see you tomorrow.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM. WFAN, New York.
What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.